Welcome to the podcast of Broadway Baptist Church in Lexington, Kentucky, and the preaching of Pastor Daniel Othman, a biblical church centered on Christ.
All right, I want you to open up your Bible here to John chapter 1. This is Peter's introduction, and I want to tell you who Peter is. The goal tonight of this message is who was Peter? Who is this man? Like, what is his background? And of all the disciples, the most attention is actually given to Peter. And the reason why, Peter was the leader of the disciples. He was the spokesman for the disciples. And we as 2,000 years later, as Christians, we know more about Peter than any of the other disciples because we see the good and in many ways the challenging times for Peter. And he was someone who had a lot of doubts and fears and made some mistakes. But the Bible is, we're blessed enough that it doesn't just make this man into a perfect man. It showed that he is a sinful, fallen person, and he struggles with the same sins and the same problems that we would all struggle with. And I think of many ways all of us should be able to identify with Peter because of all the character studies of the 12 disciples, there's more focus and more attention given towards Peter than all the other ones actually combined. We see a lot about Peter. Compared to all the other disciples. But I want to explain who Peter was. Peter had a brother. Peter there, his brother was Andrew. And they were from a little village on the northern part of the Sea of Galilee called Bethsaida. That's where they were from. They were fishermen. And Peter was probably one of these guys that was pretty rough man. I mean, have you ever heard of somebody, now we don't know if Peter cussed, but have you ever heard the statement that he cusses like a sailor? And I think that statement, what it's saying is sailors, and not that, we don't know if Peter cussed, but sailors probably had a reputation that they were just rough guys. I mean, they sailed boats, there's nobody around, you're just dealing with fish and ropes and whatever, wind and stuff. I mean, you're just out there by yourself and just whatever happens. There's very little accountability. Who's going to see you? There's no cameras in the middle of the ocean. I mean, you're just out there. So that's kind of what, he's just one of these guys. He goes fishing for a living, and he just does whatever he wants to do. And his brother, they had a fishing business. And there was also two other brothers. In the disciples, you had Peter and Andrew. And then they were fishermen, they were brothers, and then you had this other set of brothers who were known as the Sons of Thunder, which meant they had a temper problem, and their names were James and John. So these two people, and James was actually, of all the disciples, he was the first one martyred. He was the first, other than Judas, committing suicide. He actually died in the book of Acts by King Herod. Agrippa executed him, and then he was lining up to get Peter, but in the middle of the night, the Lord opened up the prison gates, and Peter walked out. But James was the first of all the disciples to die for his faith, and he was executed. But these four brothers, they're two brothers, and they are all fishermen. And they were the first people whom Jesus called. So I want you to understand, Jesus is beginning a ministry, and he goes and he finds these men, and he's going to make them into his disciples and call him. But I want you to know, they were actually disciples of John the Baptist before they were disciples of Jesus, and that's what we're about to look at right here. So you're in your Bible in John chapter 1. Peter was a former disciple of John the Baptist. They were aware of who John the Baptist was. He was the cousin of Jesus. Verse 35, it says, the next day John was standing with two of his disciples. These disciples are John's disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." So Jesus passed by. Jesus had just gotten baptized, and he was passing by. I mean, he was walking by the Jordan River, and John the Baptist spotted him again. You say, why was Jesus passing by again? He had just gone down to the Jordan River. It's near Jericho, the area he was baptized. He got baptized, but it's like he kept coming back the next day. He was lingering around. What was Jesus doing there? What Jesus was doing is he was about to call some disciples. He was fishing. not for fish, but for people. So he's doing something here. Nothing Jesus does is by accident. He just didn't just happen to walk by. Oh, look, yesterday I got baptized in that water. Here I happen to be here again. There's a purpose what Jesus is doing. So John the Baptist sees him. He just baptized him yesterday. He's like, look, there he is. That's the Messiah, the Lamb of God. Verse 37. The two disciples heard him say this, and look what they did. They followed Jesus. John just lost two people. He started bragging on this other man named Jesus, and there go his two disciples. When Jesus turned around and he noticed them following him, he said, what are you looking for? What a question for us. So understand, Jesus walking along, just kind of keeping his eyes out on John's disciples. It's like we're not still in church members. Now we're still in disciples. I'm not implying that Jesus is stealing, but Jesus has a purpose what he's doing. All of these people are about to become followers of Jesus. They just don't realize what's about to happen. And Jesus turns around, he notices these two other men start to follow him. And he turns around and looks at him and says, guys, what are you looking for? Like, what do you want? What are you seeking by following me? And look what they said. Verse 38. They said to him, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? That I know that's kind of odd, because understand, where are you staying? If you ask me, where am I staying? I would tell you I'm staying at my house on Denver Lane here in Lexington. That's not how they would answer the question. They wouldn't give you a physical address of the city and zip code. That's not, where are you staying is meaning like, where are you going? Like, are you going to Jerusalem? Are you going to Jericho? Like, because they didn't have the postal system that we have, that this is your exact home. So you were staying in the city. So that was what that question meant. Like, where are you going? Like, what are you up to? They want to know where he's going. Come and you'll see. Jesus doesn't tell them. Just come and you'll see, he replied. So they went and saw where he was staying. And they stayed with him there that day. It was about 4 in the afternoon. So these men are with him. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard John and followed him. He found his own brother Simon and told him, we have found the Messiah. So what we see here is Andrew's one of the disciples, and there's another unnamed disciple there, and we see that Peter was not with him. But most likely, Peter, because his brother was Andrew, and Andrew was following him, Peter probably was a disciple of John the Baptist already. So it goes on to say, he finds, every time we see Andrew in the Bible, he's always bringing someone to Jesus. And this is what he's doing right here. We see the first time we're introduced to Andrew, he's bringing his brother Jesus. He finds his brother Simon and told him, we have found the Messiah, which is translated the Christ. And he brought Simon to Jesus. That's Peter. This is the first time they meet. So he brings him over there to him. When Jesus saw him, so Jesus now sees, this is an odd way to introduce yourself. Jesus meets Peter for the first time. And he says, you are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which is translated Peter. So Jesus is presenting himself a sense of authority. First thing he does, he renames Peter. Peter means rock. That's what he means. He meets Andrew's brother, Peter, and he says, I know who you are. I know your daddy, John. I'm going to rename you. You're now Cephas, which is translated Peter, which means the rock. So our first introduction to Peter, Peter actually becomes a disciple because his brother brought him to Jesus. This reminds us and encourages us, one of the most important things that we can do is evangelism, outreach. Do you know where it starts? It starts at your home with your family. And you just look around. Do you have family members who do not know the Lord? You know, I think about Miss Erstein Stapleton. You know, her grandson, we had been praying for him for a year. Then he got saved. Then he vanished on me. Now he's back. But she never gave up the whole time. for someone like us, it's like, whatever happened to that guy? Where did he go? So, well, I expect to see him more regularly now. And this is what happens for us. We need to have that same determined attitude that we're not just going to let the devil have our family members. And Andrew was that way. He moved his family from following John the Baptist to following Jesus. All right, now flip over in your Bible here to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. Here's the second time we're going to be introduced here to Peter. Peter is going to be one of the first disciples we see and how he's going to be called. So first we see his former way of life. So you're in Matthew chapter 4. The rest of the night we're going to be in this book here in Matthew. This here is when Peter is going to be, all of a sudden, he's going to leave his net. And that was a big calling, because in many ways, what we're reminded of is he's telling Peter, says, Peter, you're going to leave your former way of life. And actually, next Sunday night, I'm going to show you that he went back to his old way of life temporarily. And that's why he needed to make a rededication. You're in Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. As he was walking along the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the sea. So they're not in a boat, for they were fishermen. He said, "Follow me," he told them, "and I will make you fish for people." Jesus is redirecting his focus. They're sitting there fishing for fish, and he's saying, "No, we're not going to fish for fish anymore. You're going to start catching people. The souls of people are more important than these fish. This is your old way of life." He's giving Peter a new purpose. He's showing him, he says, "I'm offering you so much more, Peter. You've been standing here all these years, throwing this net over and over and over again into the Sea of Galilee, and here I'm giving you an opportunity to follow me, and we're just going to do something great for the kingdom of God, and our new item is going to be people." And just look at their response. You know, we live in a day now that so many times you have to poke and prod and give sales pitches to get people to do stuff. Not with Peter. Peter actually responded boldly right away. He didn't start asking a bunch of questions. Jesus told him to follow him. "I'm going to go fish for people." And it says immediately they left their nets and followed him. They didn't clean their nets. They didn't store them back in the boat. They dropped their nets and said, "I'm going to go follow the Lord. He's giving me this command to do." So who is this man here? This man, Peter, is someone who left his net. He recognized there's something better, there's something more in following Jesus. And I think the main word that is in this entire passage, I think for us, is in verse 20, where it tells us immediately. And I think when Christ calls us, when he tells us what to do, instead of asking questions and instead of reading the FAQ and analyzing the entire situation, he says, "You need to immediately follow me." All right, flip over in your Bible now to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, verse 14. Matthew 8, 14 here. This here is Peter's mother-in-law. Peter's mother-in-law, this is early in Jesus' ministry. She was very sick. She was running a fever. I wouldn't say it was very sick. She just didn't feel well. Well, Jesus went into Peter's house, and sure enough, he heals her. He performed a great miracle. Matthew 8:14. It says, Jesus went into Peter's house, and he saw his mother-in-law lying in a bed with a fever. So obviously, he recognized something's not right. Now, back in Bible times, they didn't have 25 bedrooms like houses do today. So nowadays, you can just go hide in your bedroom from any type of visitor. Back in Bible times, it was more open floor plan and very small houses. So you walked in somebody's house, and you notice over there in the corner, there's somebody laying down. They're not right. So what we see here is Jesus recognizes that she has a fever. So notice, he doesn't even ask her. He just walks up to her. So he touched her hand and took her hand, and the fever left her. So this lady, Peter's mother-in-law, Peter was a married man. His wife's mother is sick. She has a fever. Jesus just walks up and takes her hand, gives her a handshake, and all of a sudden her fever, she's nice and cool again. Feels great. She gets up. She didn't go around saying, look at me, I just got healed. I'm going to become a disciple to this man. She got up and began to serve him. She just starts working. Like, there was no questions. Do I need to start helping out? Do I need to start serving you? She immediately jumps up because she's been healed, and she begins to serve. And I think what we see here in Peter's life is both times. Peter, he immediately left his net. He didn't ask questions. Peter's mother-in-law, when she was healed, she immediately jumped up and started working. The immediacy is what we see in this family. I think a lot of times for us, when Christ encourages us and calls us to do something, we start asking a bunch of questions and in wanting to know the benefits, if there's a role, if I have a job title, is there a job description? None of that was there. There was an attitude as I'm here to serve. And look what it says here. She began to serve them. When evening came, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed. He drove out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, so that what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. He himself took our weaknesses and carried our diseases. Jesus takes our pain from us and diseases and weaknesses. Anything we have, he can take our burdens. He can withstand it. And it says these people here who had demon-possessed and spirits, he drove them out. Notice there in verse 16, with a word. That's all he said. He just spoke to them and the demons left. He didn't even have to touch them. The power of just Jesus' voice, he was immediately able to heal them. Now our last passage, and the longest and the one I wanted us to focus on, turn in your Bible, last section, Matthew chapter 14. This has to do with our picture right here. This here is what Peter is very well known for. This is the one where we see a picture of Peter who was struggling in his walk, in his faith, because he lost his focus. And he was very bold at this point. This is a little bit later on in the ministry, and he wants to participate and do what Jesus is going to do, because Jesus is going to walk on water. So what just happened here? Jesus just performed the feeding of the 5,000. And on Mark's account of this, what occurred is everybody else, after the feeding of 5,000, remember that happened late in the afternoon, because they had to hurry up and feed everybody. It was a dinner meal, and everyone had to disperse everybody so everyone could get home. And they found 5 loaves and 2 fish from a little boy. And by the way, Andrew found that little boy, Peter's brother. Because every time we see Andrew, he's always bringing someone to Jesus, saying, look, here's a little boy with some food. So, and then Jesus obviously multiplied it, fed 5,000 plus, probably 10,000 people with women and children. And then the Bible tells us in Mark's account that Jesus went up on the mountain alone and he prayed. And the disciples, they hopped in their boat and they were going to sail to another part of the region and prepare. But Jesus didn't. He wasn't with the disciples. So that's where the story picks up. In verse 22, we're in Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. It says, immediately he made the disciples get into a boat and go ahead of them to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. After dismissing the crowds, notice too what's going on here. He's getting rid of the disciples in many ways before he even got rid of the other 5,000 people. Because while he just performed this miracle, he's already thinking, I'm about to do something even greater over here. I'm about to walk on the water. And then we're going to watch Peter sink in the water. I'm going to pull him out of the water. He's revealing himself to these 12 men of who he is. So he's sending them ahead. He's getting rid of the crowds. And it says in verse 23, after dismissing the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Well into the night, he was there alone. Now, in Mark's account, this it says the third watch. That would have been at like 2, 3, 4 a.m. So Jesus is middle of the night, is spending lots of time in prayer. One of the great things about the Lord, his prayer life, a lot of it was actually at night. The Garden of Gethsemane, that was his prayer at night. He was with the Lord at night praying, and here he is again. Meanwhile, so there's a problem going on. Jesus is spending time in prayer, and the disciples are having a hard time. Verse 24, meanwhile, the boat was already some distance from land, battered by the waves, because the wind was against them. So they're having a hard time getting across the lake. It's just not working out. Jesus came toward them walking on the sea very early in the morning. Very early in the morning. This man is walking on the water, and they're rowing, and they're not making any progress. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. And the first thing they said was, "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. If this was Halloween, I get asked frequently in October if ghosts do exist. I actually do believe they exist. And the reason why is because the Bible asks these two different places in the Bible, we see the referencing ghost. Here, the disciples thought this was a ghost walking on the water. And do you remember the other example when Jesus saw Thomas? And he says, "Thomas," and Thomas had not been there, and he didn't know if Jesus had been resurrected. Thomas, he invited him forward and said, "Thomas, come here. Look at my hands. Put your hand right there, and in my side, in my feet. Am I a ghost?" Jesus asked the question. I'm not a ghost, am I? Like, I'm a real human being. Jesus was implying by asking that question, am I a ghost? As if there are ghosts, but I'm not one of them, because you can touch me. These disciples here, and I would actually say also in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 28, if you remember Saul, when he was disobedient to the Lord, he went to a witch. He called up Samuel from the grave, and he actually condemned him and told him he was going to die, but he came back from the dead as a ghost, as a spirit. In that. So, now, we don't need to call up ghosts. We don't need to be looking for ghosts. I think we see throughout the Bible, ghosts are from the devil. It's not, God doesn't use ghosts to speak to us. But these people, the first thing they start to do by asking, is it a ghost? They're on the water. It's a massive storm, and they think it's a ghost. Their mind, in times of fear, it goes to the worst case scenario. It must be a killer. I mean, it's like if you were Sherry at her house. She leaves real early. She leaves the house at 5:22 every morning to go to the VA hospital. So at 5:22, year-round, it's pitch black dark. There's not a lot of cars out. Well, I go out there, and I actually, especially in winter, I go out there early and start the car for her and make sure it's warming up. I get out there, and I'm usually alone. Now, I'm on the side of the road, and we have a sidewalk, and we have a very active neighborhood, so sometimes you have a lot of people walking by and running by even early in the morning, but not normally at 5:22 in the morning. And if somebody's walking or running and they don't have any lights on or any type of like cell phone or flashlight, you don't really see them very well. And one morning, I was out there, and somebody passed by, and it totally startled me, because I'm out there starting the car, and it wasn't 5:22, it was like 5:10 in the morning, very early, very dark, and you get caught off guard. Now, they were just, I thought, I was standing there thinking, "Sir, you need a light. Like, if you're not careful, somebody's going to pull a gun out and shoot you if you just do that, keep doing that, passing by people in the middle of the night." But I kind of envisioned that's what's happening here. They're startled. They're in the middle of a lake, and they're not expecting a man to be walking on the lake. It just catches you off guard. You weren't prepared to see that person. And the first thing they think is, when you see somebody like that, your defenses go up. You think, "Oh, they're here to attack me." Like, and they're thinking, "This is a ghost walking on water." So they asked the question, "Is it a ghost?" they said, and they cried out in fear. I believe they thought it was a ghost. They're scared to death. They're screaming. I mean, it's a horror show at this point, because they don't know who this is. I mean, we're in the middle of a storm and a ghost is walking on the water towards us. Immediately, Jesus spoke to them, "Have courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." So the ghost starts speaking to them and they realize it's not a ghost. This is the Lord. And Peter recognizes his voice. Ghosts don't come up to you and say, "Have courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." And Peter says, "Lord, if it's you," Peter answered him, "command me to come to you on the water." So Peter is recognizing. That was a bold statement. Peter looks at Jesus. Jesus is walking on the water. And he thinks, well, if Jesus can walk on the water, I want to walk on the water too. And he said, "Come." He calls them to come. And climbing out of the boat, Peter started walking on the water and came toward Jesus. So he jumps out of the boat. He's actually walking on the water. Only two people on earth have ever walked on water. And Peter made the qualification of the other one along here with Jesus. And so they're walking on water and they came toward Jesus. But he saw, look at this. This is the key verse in verse 30. But when he saw the strength of the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And this picture here illustrates it. What is happening right now? He's looking at Jesus, but it was a great storm, very windy, and he's realizing, "I'm not going to make it, Lord. It's too far of a distance." And when he starts looking at the wind, God allowed him to begin sinking. And I think what the Lord is teaching us in this story is as long as Peter was focused on Jesus, if he had his eyes fixed on Jesus, he could have kept on walking on the water. But the moment he starts looking at the other things in the world, the wind, the problems, the storm, the darkness, the ghosts, whatever else is out there, he began to sink. And that is what happens in our world today. The principle God's teaching us is that we will find ourselves just like Peter, when we lose focus, and it is so easy today April 14th of 2024 to get distracted on other things, and you will not be focused on Jesus. And he made the statement, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand, caught hold of him, and said to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" Why did you doubt? Jesus read Peter's heart. He was more worried about dying than being focused. He was worried about sinking. When they got into the boat, look at this, the wind ceased right away. The wind ended. Then those in the boat, look at this, we had a worship service on the boat. Then those in the boat worshiped him and said, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Jesus rebuked Peter for his doubt. And because he was more focused on the wind. And for us, we are surrounded by lots of problems, lots of doubts, lots of fears, and there's no reason to take our eyes off of Jesus. And if you are sinking, and this is a picture of salvation, and if somebody is sinking, he cried out, "Lord, save me." That's the sinner's cry. That's how you get saved. You cry out to the Lord. And Jesus, the Bible says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's Romans 10:13. Every single person who cries out to Jesus, Jesus just pulls them out. And he says, "Why did you doubt, Peter?" And he picked them back up, and there they were. What is amazing is Jesus picked him back up and put him on top of the water at this point. Don't miss that. They were in the middle of the water. Jesus stood them back up on the water. Then they walked back to the boat together and climbed back in the boat. So it was a total miracle everywhere. Jesus is using this to teach Peter that he is the one who is struggling with doubt. He was the one who said, "I want to come out there, invite me to come." And at some point, Peter, when he first made that statement, he actually believed he could do it. But then he didn't believe he could do it, and he was sinking. So we see this man. Who was Peter? This is a man who was afraid. The Bible says he was more fearful of the wind and the waves than the fact that he was walking, just realizing he was defying science and he was walking on water. Who else was Peter? This was a man who had a mother-in-law who he brought to his house, and Jesus immediately healed him. Who was Peter? He's a man who immediately left his net and just began to follow Jesus. And who was Peter? He was a man who was a former disciple of John the Baptist. And he left John the Baptist. In fact, John the Baptist then, you know, continued to follow Jesus and follow his ministry. All of John's followers kind of drifted over to Jesus there. And John even pointed out, this is the Lamb of God. So we see this is a man who was very bold, who was very responsive to the Lord, who didn't make up any excuses, yet also struggled with doubt. And I think the principle for us, we are in many ways are just like Peter. Jesus Christ calls us and commands us to fix our eyes on him instead of being distracted by the wind and the waves. We're going to close out this service here with an invitation. So I'm going to invite everyone to stand up. If you want to make a decision this evening, I stand down front. David's going to play on our piano. We always close our times, our invitations, with a time of response. So you come take my hand. You can make a decision to follow Jesus this evening. David's going to lead us in our song.